Good morning.
And welcome to West Valley Presbyterian Church. And happy Valentine's Day weekend, President's Day weekend. Are you having fun yet this weekend?
Let us unite our hearts together in prayer. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. Dear God, our hearts are united in our praise to You. For You alone are worthy of praise. You created this world. You provide rescue from our sin. You gave us Your Son, and it is in Him and through Him that we are reconciled to You. We unite our hearts in praying for those from our church who are serving You in Mexico this week. Send Your Holy Spirit with them and remind them of Your presence in a very real way. And as they speak and work and serve and teach, may they be filled and replenished by Your love freely flowing through their lives. We unite our hearts around the Service Worship Conference. Please continue to work in the planning process so that this conference might be pleasing to You. Be with those who are preparing this conference and give them wisdom. Work in the hearts of those who are coming and those who are still deciding to come. Prepare them for Your special message to them. We unite our hearts in prayer for the needs of this church. We pray for the sick, for the hurting, for the unemployed, for the lonely, for the depressed, for the lost, for those with heavy hearts. Lord, we struggle to carry burdens that are too great for us. Please carry them for us and help us to put our trust in You. And in some matters, Lord, we seek to be united, but we are not. Guide us, Lord. Teach us, heal us, lead us, and help us to hear You and follow You, once again united as one body and one spirit, just as we are called to one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. We pray for Your servant, Stan Johnson, as he brings Your message to us this morning. Touch him with a special portion of Your Spirit and help us to hear and to follow Your message to us. We pray these things being united by the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Before I read the scripture, I do want to acknowledge and welcome Stan and Mary Johnson with us today. I first heard Stan Johnson preach in 1983, and we were looking for a church. We had just left full-time ministry, and we were trying to find a church where there was really solid biblical preaching. And we had tried other churches and weren't quite satisfied, and we went to Saratoga Federated Church and heard Stan preach, and we thought, yes, he's the person that we would like to be under with his preaching ability. Stan has a vast background. He's a graduate of Wheaton. He has his MDiv. He has his doctorate degree. He's pastored in Hawaii, of all places. That must have been a tough assignment. Then came to Saratoga Federated Church, where he retired as pastor emeritus. Nate Schofield said, well, how shall we put his name in the bulletin? Do we want to put Reverend Stan Johnson or Reverend Dr. Stan Johnson or Pastor Stan Johnson? And immediately I said pastor, because Stan to me is not a man about titles and positions. He's a man that shares his gift of pastoring with us and his gift of preaching. And so I said, he is Pastor Stan Johnson. So Stan Johnson will be preaching for us today. Before he preaches, I'd like to read the scripture to you. We're going to start with the book of Exodus in chapter 34, Moses has gone up to the mountain and has received the Ten Commandments, and he comes back down, and the children of Israel are worshiping idols, and he is disgusted and angry, and he just throws them down, and they've broken into bits. But God talks to Moses and tells him to go back up to the mountain again. And here is where it begins with his journey on top of the mountain for a second time. So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones and went up Mount Sinai early in the morning as the Lord had commanded him. And he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation. And from the book of Lamentations, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. And then from the book of the Ephesians in the New Testament, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Herein lies the reading of God's word.
Good morning. Thank you for the privilege of worshiping with you today and renewing friendship with Bob, and such a blessing to me over the past several years. When Bob called and invited me to speak this morning, I asked him if he had any special subject that he would like to have me speak on. And immediately he said, well, it's always good to hear something about God's faithfulness and grace. He also told me that Pastor Kim and 40 or 50 members of your church are away this weekend. And also, he said, this happens to be a holiday weekend, and some more members of our church may be gone. At first, I thought Bob was just kindly preparing me for a little letdown. But instead, I think this is the perfect setup to reflect on God's faithfulness and grace, no matter what the circumstances in our lives may be. I've been thinking a lot about those two hymns, Great is Thy Faithfulness and Amazing Grace. And I thought, what does it mean, the word great is thy faithfulness and amazing? What is so amazing about God's grace? Well, as far as his great faithfulness, it's great because he is faithful. But it's also great because God faithfully gives us his amazing grace. We're reminded of that when we sing an old hymn that I'm sure some of you are familiar with, entitled, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. The words go, all the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. So, what is amazing about God's grace? I think it's simply the great faithfulness of God in giving us that grace. As I thought of that, I thought to myself, what else is it that is really and truly amazing about God's grace that He so faithfully gives us? And I'd just like to share from my heart to yours this morning some thoughts that I feel God gave to me about what is really so amazing about His grace. The first thing that's amazing about God's grace is that it literally means God giving us Himself. The reason I say that is because theologically, grace is the very essence of who God is. It's the essence of His being. The Bible also says that God is love, God is truth, and God incarnate in Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So it's not just God giving us grace, love, truth, and whatever else we may need for every trial. It's actually God giving us Himself. Grace is not some kind of help that God gives. What is so amazing about God's grace is that we're given the helper, Himself. That is truly amazing. One of the best examples of this is found in the book of Exodus, the 33rd chapter, verses 12 and 14. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know who you will send with me." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." That is what is so amazing about God's grace, that He literally gives us Himself. The second thing that came to me as far as what is so amazing about God's grace is that it's amazing because of the way God gives Himself to us. This is another example from the life of Moses and God giving the Ten Commandments that Bob read about. Moses chiseled out two stones, two stone tablets, like the first ones, and went up to Mount Sinai. He carried the two stone tablets in his hands. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, "The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin." The point that is so crucial is in the phrase, "The Lord came down." In the Hebrew language, this really means that the Lord bent over and stooped down. That is what's so amazing about God's grace, that He actually bends over and stoops down to where we are and picks us up as we need it. That is truly amazing about His grace. I was born in the Depression area, and looking at the crowd here this morning, I think some of you must have been too. And I have so many happy memories about that time. My parents were regular attenders at the Mel Trotter Mission in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Every Sunday morning, my mother carried a little, organ that, I guess they call it a pump organ. I don't know what, it was just something she carried and opened up and played. And then my dad would give a little talk as they went to the county jail. And at times they would take one of us in the family along to sing. And there was a captive audience, so it didn't really make a much difference whether we could sing very well. Also, one of my memories was on Tuesday. Every Tuesday, my mother went to the mission and worked in the clothes room. And they took all clothes that were donated or given by local retailers to give out to the poor. Every Thanksgiving, we went around giving baskets, food baskets, to needy people. And at Christmas time, we also went and gave gifts to the poor. In the process of doing all of that, I will never forget one of my dad's favorite quotes. When he was referring to someone who was helping, he said that person gave themselves over backwards. And as I thought about it, one of the amazing things about God's grace is God, the Almighty God, who gives us Himself, and then He bends over and stoops down to reach us where we are. And then He gives us all of Himself for all that we need. As I thought of my dad saying, I thought, maybe that's the posture that we ought to have as followers of Jesus. If I say I bend down and stoop over to help somebody, it sounds a little condescending. But I have always loved that concept or that thought of giving yourself over backwards. That is grace shown to others. Then, lastly, the thought that just was especially meaningful to me as well was that God's grace is so amazing because it is shockingly personal. God's grace is shockingly personal. I can best illustrate that by reading something from the book written by Philip Yancey. In 1997, I had the privilege of spending a week with Phil and Jan Yancey. Philip had just finished writing the book, What's So Amazing About Grace? And I was serving as a counselor at this retreat center, and we offered an invitation to Christian workers and even people in the business world who were burned out and needed to come to a place where they could rest and be renewed. And one thing that struck me about Phil Yancey was he said he'd rather not try to define grace. He'd rather try to live it, to show it. And this is something that he said that was very meaningful in his book. He's talking about the story of the prodigal son and the response after the prodigal son came home. In the same way, I tell you, this is what the scriptures say, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And that's the basis on which Phil Yancey spoke of the grace of God being so shockingly personal. But then he shared another experience with us that illustrates the same point. He says, not long ago, I received in the mail a postcard from a friend that had on it only six words. I am the one Jesus loves. I smiled when I saw the return address, for my strange friend excels in these pious slogans. When I called him, though, he told me the slogan came from the author and speaker, Brennan Manning. Some of you may know that Brennan Manning was a Catholic priest who became an alcoholic. And I suppose he would be an example of somebody who fell from grace and needed to have this kind of grace that I'm talking about. At a seminar that Brennan Manning was speaking, he referred to Jesus' closest friend on earth, the disciple named John, identified in the Gospels as the one Jesus loved. Manning said, if John were to be asked, what is your primary identity in life? He would not reply, I'm a disciple, an apostle, an evangelist, an author of one of the four Gospels. But rather he would reply, I am the one Jesus loves. What would it mean, I ask myself, if I too came to the place where I saw my primary identity in life as the one Jesus loves? How different would I view myself at the end of the day? Sociologists have a theory of the looking glass self. You become what the most important person in your life, wife, father, boss, etc., thinks you are. How would my life change if I truly believed in the Bible's astounding words about God's love for me? If I looked in the mirror and see what God sees. And then he tells the story of an Irish priest who, on a walking tour of a rural parish, sees an old peasant kneeling by the side of the road, praying. Impressed, the priest says to the man, you must be very close to God. The peasant looks up from his prayers, thinks a moment, and then smiles. Yes, he's very fond of me. That's amazing grace. I've thought to myself, if we had this view of ourselves, that God loves us, the manifestation of his grace, what he thinks of us, and how he sees us, he loves us. He's very fond of us. I think what would happen, we would become more graceful people. Showing this amazing grace of God to others. Let's pray. God, our Father, we're so thankful that when we think of your great faithfulness and your amazing grace, we can't even put our small minds around the magnitude of the truth of these concepts. I pray for each person in this congregation this morning that when they leave, they will know how loved you are and how faithful you are in showing that love. How much you are able to give yourself to them each day of this coming week to deal with any problem that they have, any need that arises, that you will give them the grace of your very own self, your personal presence. And I pray, too, that as we go into the new week, we may see ourselves more as you see us. We don't deserve your love. We don't deserve your grace, but you've given it to us freely. And how great to go about our day with that promise. We are the ones that Jesus loves, who he is very, very fond of. May the impact of that fact make this coming week different and new and fresh. For the glory of your name we pray. Amen.
And now go in the love of Christ Jesus. In his graciousness, his provision, his faithfulness for all things that happen within our lives. Go knowing you are fondly loved by him. In his name we pray. Amen.